Well, when I had my annual wellness check with Dr. Bucha earlier this spring, there was a review of things that factor into a person's physical well-being. And so I had the lab work done, the blood work, and everything was exactly on the money except for one thing, and that was my vitamin D count was low. So think of today's sermon as a wellness check. The passage of scripture that we're looking at may seem a bit basic or a bit routine or perhaps even a bit mundane, if you will, and yet it is essential for staying healthy spiritually. So let's open the Bible this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, or I could say let's open the Bible again to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, because if you're a regular here, you might recall that this is the part of the Bible that I've been preaching out of on Sundays that I've been preaching, and this happens to be just where we're at right now. So we're in 1 Thessalonians 5. We want to look at verses 16 to 22 today. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, as we take a closer look at this, shall we say, this call to practical Christian living, let's think of where we're at in regards to these various aspects of Christian living. First of all, there's the call to rejoice. Now, do we always feel like rejoicing? Or do things sometimes give us pause? Actually, earlier this spring, I had a situation that gave me pause. So I had was planning for our last major concert. Had it all arranged, had it had the agreement signed last fall already, and it was set here for April. Had a poster up in the post office on the bulletin board in the lobby there, high visibility area. Several weeks after I had put the poster up, I went into the post office to mail something, and as I walked past the bulletin board, I caught my attention. There was another poster there. I thought, oh, well, that's interesting. Wonder what that is. It was another concert. Oh, well, that's interesting. When is it going to be? It was going to be the exact same night as we were having our concert here. And not only that, it was going to be taking place right here in North Lima at another church, back to back. And I thought, oh no, are we going to have a decent turnout? Are we going to have a good offering? Blah, 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 and all this and that. So I said, oh no, to myself. And it took me a little time, I have to admit, to sort of process that and to work through it. And to get me to the place where I was able to say, Lord, I do rejoice in you in that I believe you are great enough that you are able to bless both events. And he certainly did ours. I'm not sure how things turned out at Cornerstone Assembly that night. I trust that they went well also. But the Thessalonian believers were told to rejoice always. And that's the same thing that the Apostle Paul had told the church at Philippi. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. That's in Philippians 4, verse 4. Now, if we're going to do that, if we're going to rejoice in the Lord, then that means that we need to be keeping our focus on Him. We can't just be thinking about our circumstances and our problems because, quite frankly, those circumstances and problems, if we're not careful, can drag us down. They can cause us to become discouraged or weary of the way, or sometimes even to become downright depressed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul talks about dealing with all sorts of things. What was he dealing with in life? Well, he talked about dealing with tribulation. He talked about being imprisoned, as he was at a time there, about sleeplessness and distress and so on. And then in verse 16, he talks about being sorrowful and yet always rejoicing. People that know the Lord don't rejoice just when the sun is shining like it is this morning and it's 80 degrees with a slight breeze and everything seems to be hunky-dory. Habakkuk put it like this, that ancient prophet. He said, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. That's from Habakkuk 3, verses 17 and 18. So a person that is spiritually healthy will be keeping some things in mind. They will be mindful that the Lord has redeemed them, has saved them from sin, has given them the gift of eternal life, and thus will rejoice in the God of their salvation. Rejoice. The second thing we see in our text is the call to pray. The call to pray. Do you ever get uptight about things? Or a little bit stressed out? Or perhaps I should say, when's the last time you got uptight or stressed out about something that was going on? You know, for me, it seemed, I have to admit, a bit daunting, if not overwhelming, to begin the process of cleaning out my file cabinets and desk drawers and other storage spaces in my study, things that had accumulated for over 28 years. Quite frankly, I don't know how everything that I got rid of even fit in there. I put stuff in trash bags over the past number of months and put them out in the janitor's closet, and it seemed the space was filled when I came back again. I think it was growing in there. Or that little cabinet where I had things not just like this, but things piled up, and if I opened the doors, I had to use one hand to make sure it didn't come crashing out on the floor. it was just that kind of thing anymore. But the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I did. I prayed for the Lord's help with this project. This has been months ago already, realizing that the clock was ticking and I couldn't put a stop to it. And I needed to be working at that as long as, along with my other ministry, because just couldn't wait until the last minute. And by the grace of God, and with Diane's help, a lot of that has now been done. But the point is, that we are to bring our concerns to the Lord. Are you bringing your situation, your needs, and your concerns to the Lord? The Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for you. And this exhortation carries with it the entire idea of rolling our burdens onto the Lord. Makes me think of, Oh my, this is years ago. Dinah and I have always slept on the same side of the bed, except for one time we switched. I can't even remember what the deal was. Why did we switch that night? But anyway, we did, and I was on the other side of the bed, and I just ever so nicely rolled off the bed. And thankfully, we had a plush carpeting in the bedroom at the time, but it sort of becomes an image of how we are to just ever so nicely roll our burdens and our concerns off on the Lord. See what I'm saying? Because He cares for us. And it's when we do roll our burdens upon the Lord that we open the channel. It opens the channel for God to work on our behalf. When we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, which Jesus called us to, when we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then we find that other things begin to fall into place. And according to Philippians 4:7, the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds. When are we to pray? Just when we're dealing with a major crisis? You know, it's just like the time we get stranded alongside of the road. Then's when we pull out the AAA card because we need a tow or we need a tire change or whatever, a crisis, you see. Do we pray just when we're up against the wall? Our text says pray without ceasing. And it's to be a lifestyle. And that's exactly what it was for Daniel of old. I find it very interesting because now Daniel of old was up against it. I mean, an edict had been signed and put into effect that had huge implications if he was going to continue to worship his God and not to bow down to the image and to the idols that they were being commanded to bow down to. But here's what we read in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his window open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Now, notice this. As was his custom since early days. As was his custom since early days. So, Daniel wasn't just praying because he was smack dab in the middle of a challenging situation, which he was, but he continued to pray because that's what he was accustomed to do. It was a part of Daniel's lifestyle. And the point being that it ought to be a part of our lifestyle as well. Pray without ceasing. So rejoice always, pray without ceasing. The third thing that we're called to in our text is to give thanks. To give thanks. Now, it's typical for us to give thanks for our food, is it not? I mean, we have grace before we pass the chicken and the mashed potatoes and the green beans and the applesauce and the blueberry pie, don't we? And we teach our children to say a mealtime prayer or a bedtime prayer and so on. But what about the rest of the day? The Thessalonians were told this in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is what? This is the will of God in Christ for you or concerning you. Now, we're not always sure, perhaps, what God's will is in a given situation. Because we may be dealing with something or contemplating something where there is no clear instruction in the Scriptures. And so it may take time, a time of discernment, to figure out what the mind of the Lord is in that case. But there is no question what we're being called to. There's no question regarding God's will in this particular part of our text here this morning. It's the will of God that you and I rejoice, pray, and give thanks. Now, in Psalm 95, verses 1 to 3, we're told this, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms, for the Lord is the great God and the King above all gods. Bless you. Why should we be thankful? We should be thankful because of who God is. Think about it. Our God is the creator of the world. He spoke the heavens and the earth into being. He's the creator of you and I and of all mankind, men and women. He is great and mighty and awesome. He is the King over all. And yes, he is the rock of our salvation, like the psalmist was stating. In Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5, it says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, for his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." Why should we be thankful? Well, one reason that we should be thankful is because God is good. All the time, God is good. So you think about it. God has extended to us his mercy. We didn't deserve it, but because of his great love, he blessed us with his amazing grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Followers of Jesus always have reason to give thanks, even when there are difficulties and there are challenges in life. Okay, here's another confession. Back in January, when I contracted COVID, I thought, this has got to be at the most inopportune time. We've started a countdown right after the first of the year. It seemed like when we turned the calendar to January, it was front burner for me leading up to May 31. And I thought, there's so much that I want to be doing, and there's so much that I need to be doing, and so many things I wanted to participate in. I wanted to participate in the game night. I mean, good grief. I wanted to, you know, to beat some of you in, well, whatever. I wanted to be here for the movie night. Missed the A-plus night. And then of all things, I had invited folks to join Diane and I at the Rescue Mission dinner at Waypoint 4180. And there were, what were there? There were 2-3 tables. It was wonderful. But I wasn't up to going. I just wasn't. Didn't have it in me. Then I began thinking about something along the way. The Apostle Paul told the believers in Rome, you know that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. Now, what in the world does that mean for me? It occurred to me one day that just perhaps me needing to pull back from some of these things that I so enjoyed and wanted to be a part of, including then a Sunday morning worship service and Sunday school and prayer meeting and, you know, all of these things that I just mentioned otherwise, perhaps, just perhaps, needing to pull back from some of these things was actually helping me to start disengaging a bit. Before, I was totally disengaging. And it gave me, I don't know, just a sort of a fresh perhaps perspective and thought about my entire situation. Things don't always make sense for us at the time. They really don't. But if we're walking with the Lord, we can often look back and see how He was at work, even in the midst of difficulty and setback. Even during trial and challenge, God is able to bring something of value out of circumstances and situations that, humanly speaking, are not good. People that have been redeemed always have reason to give thanks. And if you're a bit discouraged here this morning, then do what the hymn writer said. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. It's going to surprise us, isn't it? We're to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. That's God's will for us. A fourth thing the Thessalonians were told in our text was, do not quench the Spirit. Now, I believe that that has major implications for us as individuals, individual followers of Jesus, and it has major implications for us as a church. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit is God within us, and He is there to be active and working, sometimes to convict us, sometimes to always to empower us and to guide us and so on. Jesus said, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. John 16, verse 13. So some of you are used to to using GPS in your travels, and sometimes you may miss your turn inadvertently or miss whatever you're supposed to be doing. And there is a reminder, there is a voice that comes on, talks about recalculating or whatever the case might be. There are times when the Holy Spirit points out that we are getting off base and is calling attention to the fact that we need to make some kind of adjustment to get back on track, perhaps. The call to recalculate can take place any time. In other words, the Spirit may convict us sometimes of an attitude or a response or a matter that isn't Christ-like. And when that happens, it's important that we don't squelch or quench the Spirit, because that may be just result in a bunch of rationalizing or of making excuses rather than really getting to the heart of the matter. On the other hand, the Spirit may be wanting to do a new work in our midst. It may be that the Lord is calling us to a new thing, to serve Him in some way, and is nudging us, prompting us to say, yes, Lord, yes, to Your will and to Your way. And if so, it's important that we don't squelch that inner voice. It may be that the Spirit is calling the church, our church, to step up to the plate in some fashion. Now, some of you recall the time when we felt led by the Spirit, if you will, to hand deliver a Jesus video to every household in the North Lima zip code. Or you remember when we felt the Spirit urging us to set up a prayer station at the Rogers Flea Market. And that one of those days when one of the last people to come through asking for prayer was somebody from Pennsylvania whose spouse was on the America's Most Wanted list. What a prayer need we had. We felt led to do outreach in some Central and South American countries. We felt led to offer material assistance and to help people spiritually who found themselves in difficult situations, in stressful situations at the area motels up here by the turnpike. Now, this is all well and good, but we can't live in the past. To be spiritually healthy, we need to be mindful of what the Lord is saying and what He is calling us to in the present. What is it that God is wanting for us in these days that we're living in? In what new ways are we to minister to people in the church and in the community? Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. A fifth thing the Thessalonian church was called to was to test all things. Notice again verses 21 and 22. Test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. I had a flashback when I was pondering that. Some years ago, I had gotten an email from a fellow that, a person that I knew. And supposedly, this fellow was out of the country at the time, and he had gotten into a bind. And he needed some financial help to bail him out. I tried to call him, and I wasn't able to get through. I thought, is this for real or isn't it? So I had another thought, and I called the administrative person at the Ohio Mennonite Conference office. Said, do you happen to know if so-and-so is out of the country? Da, 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 da. Guess what I discovered when I made that call? She said, that fella happens to be in a meeting right now in the conference office. The entire email thing was a hoax. The Bible says this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And it's not just individuals that are getting scammed these days and sadly losing thousands of dollars and everything they may have saved for their retirement. But believers who aren't grounded in God's word end up falling for ideologies and perspectives that are not of Christ. And so there's ever the danger lurking there for individuals and churches to buy into that which in actuality undermines their very spiritual foundation. And so that's why the Apostle Paul issued this caution to the believers in Colossae. Colossians 2 verse 8, Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. If we're going to be spiritually healthy as individuals and as a church, that we do need to test things in light of the scriptures. We need to hold on to things even if they may appear to be out old-fashioned or out of step with contemporary culture. And we need to abstain from every form of evil even if it is politically incorrect or doesn't go along with the thinking of many folks around us. Our calling, you see, really hasn't changed from that which was issued to the Thessalonians back in the day. We are to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, to in everything give thanks, and we are to not quench the spirit or despise prophecies, and we are to test all things. So let's pray. Father, we do thank you this day for your greatness. Thank you for your amazing grace and your incredible love, which you have extended to us in Christ. We thank you for the gospel message that you have entrusted to our care, and we pray that you will help us to continue to be a witness unto you in our lives, in our ministry, in our service. We pray that you will continue to call forth new and exciting things here in this local church, and just continue to build your kingdom in this place. Help us that we might indeed be discerning, be able to recognize that which is good and true from that which is not good and counterfeit or evil. So we trust that you will continue to be faithful, even as you help us to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen.